If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This episode of Unlocked is brought to you by Chegg Study. Welcome, friends. It's Unlocked, episode 366, IGN's weekly and world's number one Xbox show. We've got plenty to talk about this week. As always, life finds a way. We're going to talk about Red Dead Redemption 2, some housekeeping updates there, things you want to know before the game hits, coming up on October 26th. We've got a possible new Diablo game, a leak of a title, perhaps. We'll ruminate about that a little bit as well. Plus, Amazon is now integrated into your Xbox One in the form of Alexa, and Amazon's got a special deal about that that I thought was interesting to mention as well. Plenty more to cover. Plus, Jeff Bartram is here from Operation Supply Drop. You may remember him from an appearance on Unlocked a couple years ago now. It's been too long. Good to have him back. We'll talk about how video games can be put to charitable use to help our active and retired military veterans. So, I'm Ryan McCaffrey. To my right, Destin Legarry.
Sup, Internet.
Wow.
I'm playing Call of Duty.
So great. Okay. Brandon Tyrell looking sharp as always.
Hi, Internet. Hi, Destin.
Hey, Brandon.
Oh, God.
And Jeff Bartram, welcome, my friend.
Hello, everyone, and everyone out there.
Yeah, you're Jeff, you know, if you don't know him, he's big in the Xbox community. He's out there tweeting on a regular basis. You've bled green for a while, my friend.
I think these veins, you know, pretty green. So
it's hulking out over there. You know. You even got the backdrop for it. Yes. The gamma rays, they're just hulking you out.
Yeah, it's coming
now, so yeah, we'll talk to you about Operation Supply Drop in a minute, but just appreciate you being here. And you're in for the whole kit and caboodle. So ooh, everything we're talking about, you're talking about.
Awesome.
I hope you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm psyched. Let's
I know
do
you
this.
Are. But I wanted to start with Call of Duty Black Ops 4. It is the huge new release. It's funny. I feel like I was caught a little off guard just because I'm so used to it coming out in the beginning of November. And it's like, wait, it's out already.
Yeah.
It came out. Destin and Jeff, I know you guys have been playing a ton over the weekend since it came out. Multiplayer, zombies, blackout. Destin, how are you finding it so far?
I actually like it a lot. I've kind of not played Call of Duty for a while. I'll check it out briefly, do a few multiplayer matches, check out the betas. But I hadn't really played a core release, and I dove in a
when
ton.
When was the last one you think you really spent a lot of time with?
I had to do work for Ghosts. So I'd spent a lot of time
with
Ghosts.
A low bar. So Black Ops 4 is really going to look good compared to that.
Yeah, so 4 is pretty good. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think everybody's really enjoying Blackout. I checked out Zombies, checked out some of the traditional multiplayer. And if you're watching on youtube.com/IGN Unlocked, I was streaming there last night. You saw me get my butt kicked a few times. There's a few spawn kill rounds that were really rough. But overall, really enjoyable. I'm getting a feel for the game again on PC, which is awesome. They're using the BNet launcher, which I really, really like. How are you doing in Blackout?
Blackout, I'm doing pretty good. First game, got a win. So
really?
Yeah, very first game.
So you retired. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, I'm retired. I'm good now.
Mike, that's it.
But it's actually really good. I enjoy the fluidity of the game and actually this pacing. Mm-hmm. It's a different pacing than the other Battle Royale genre games out there. But this one seems like it's quick, it's spontaneous, but there's a challenge to it that none of the other games have created because of the way they've implemented the bushes that you can't hide in the bush and buildings that you can shoot directly through. And then adding the zombies within that realm is just pretty cool.
So yeah, I kept going there and I'm like, there's zombies here? What? So you're dealing with that. Yeah. There's people there that are dealing with the zombies giving away their position. You kind of sneak around and get kills. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Have you spent a lot of time, Jeff, with either Fortnite or PUBG or any of the other ones?
Yes, I've spent many hours with PUBG on the side because I love the realistic nature of it and the military aspect. Of course, it has all the fun issues and bugs that we all come to love. But I think what Call of Duty did was take that formula and just elevate it a little bit more. I mean, there's always things going to need to be worked on with it. But I think this is the best Battle Royale game out to date. So
bold claim.
Bold claim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it feels like
as an outside observer, it certainly looks more polished than
that. And that's that. There's a lot to that. I mean, like I said, I remember I've told the story before, but Destin, when you had the Xbox version of PUBG run, I'd heard all the buzz and I should check this game out. And then I walked by Destin's desk and just watched you try to land
on the house.
Just try to come into the game, and I was just like, I don't want to play that. Disaster.
Yep.
Now, to be fair, that was like a year ago and the 1.0 release is out, but yeah, the idea of a battle royale game but with lots of polish, like Call of Duty level polish, that's appealing to me.
They made a lot of improvements to PUBG like going into full launch, and it's in an okay place, but they never refined it in the way that Call of Duty has. And I think a lot of people are looking at Blackout and they're like, okay, this is PUBG, but it's cleaner, everything's better, and it works really, really well. I mean, the Call of Duty team obviously has the budget, they have Raven working with them on the game, and they're able to sort of have different teams tackle different parts, and they've done a really, really good job with Blackout. It's really fun. I also am enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, it's is it fair to say, hot take, that PUBG is having its lunch eaten by Blackout
instead of dinner? I see what you did there.
Nice. I think so.
That would have been the better way to go, the chicken dinner.
Sorry, Brandon. I don't see it as a one-to-one comparison, but I've talked
about it. I know there's still millions of people playing PUBG. I'm just being cheeky, but...
I know.
I'm curious, having not played it, and I don't really play Battle Royale games anyway, this is the first time in, I want to say, the history of Call of Duty, but we might need the fact checkers to double check that, that they've omitted a campaign for, you know, a supplementary mode. You know, there was Spec Ops back in Modern Warfare 2 and all that. I'm curious, is the exchange of Blackout for a traditional COD campaign something you guys are finding appealing, or do you miss a campaign just based off what you've played so far?
So I don't miss the campaign. I don't feel like, I mean, unless they said this, I don't feel like they're like, we're going to do Blackout and cut out the campaign so we can make Blackout. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a trade-off sort of scenario.
Yeah.
They made the decision a long time ago to not work on a campaign for this particular release. Isn't that right, Ryan? I believe.
Yeah, I think Kotaku had a story that there was a campaign in development, but it wasn't going to be ready in time.
There were rumors that it was chugging along, and then they decided to scrap it.
But I think I bring up a good point, Brandon. I'm not hearing any old man chatter from people like me that are now that the game's out, nobody's like, where's the campaign? Everybody seems super stoked on Blackout.
Or not even old man chatter, but like the knee-jerk reaction to like, they've taken something away from us, you know? Yeah. I haven't seen that level of, disagreement with the option to remove a campaign and, you know, for Blackout. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, no matter what you put in there, someone's going to complain about it. I haven't seen any of that yet.
So on the Podcast Unlock Facebook group, there are some people lamenting about how they missed the campaign, but they don't seem angry about it.
Yeah.
The game is in a really good state, you know. So they're just kind of like, man, I missed the campaign. What was your favorite Call of Duty campaign? I hope they don't go away forever. I think it was a pretty cool story that they told.
I don't think they will, but yeah. I'm just curious if you guys would you have rather had a campaign over this new Blackout mode?
No, not really. I mean, to be honest, I never felt compelled to play the campaigns mm-hmm. because really they were not that memorable yeah. in my opinion. The characters were not that memorable.
They used to be.
They got away from that. But here with the Blackout mode, I'm very familiar with all these territories and zones mm-hmm. that make up the map. So it's something very familiar and just enjoyable getting into it. So yeah. I think that's, you know, a nice trade-off.
The stories we're getting in exchange are the stories of our experiences.
Emerging.
Blackout, yeah. playing zombies. Yeah, totally what you said, Brandon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
that word.
I think part of what maybe softens the blow a little bit of not having a campaign is the fact that you were factually stating this is the first time
factually asterisk
right
yeah
it's a little tinge of sarcasm
yeah
attached
I get
that.
You
Black Ops 3 barely had a campaign like okay. it was a series of missions that were just sort of there that you could play by yourself so not quite a campaign in the traditional sense but there was something so. I think my point is that even Black Ops within the Call of Duty brand has, you know, kind of – it's not like we went from the Black Ops 1 amazing campaign, one of my favorite campaigns mm-hmm. in all of Call of Duty, to nothing.
Yeah.
It's like it's, we didn't just fall off the cliff. Like Black Ops 2's campaign was definitely there. I didn't care for it as much. A lot of people did like it. Black Ops 3 – like it's barely there series of missions. So it's almost like whether intentionally or not – they've kind of been training us for this, like yeah. preparing us for this within the Black Ops franchise specifically.
There's some cool storytelling in Zombies, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So they kind of tell you, like, what's – well, I mean, you're going through different time periods mm-hmm. and such, and it seems like the characters are sort of stuck in this loop trying to figure a way out. And the dialogue between them sort of tells a lot about their character types and their relationships with each other. And
that's cool.
Yeah, just getting to play – I just did one – 14-round wave of zombies last night with some friends, and it was kind of neat to hear the cross chatter.
It almost sounds a little Left 4 Dead-ish.
Yeah, it really reminded me of that, yeah. actually, Ryan. And I was like, oh,
wait,
man,
you go back to the medieval.
This is the one I played.
It's like ancient Rome.
This is tutorial level, and
yeah, it's called 9, right?
Yeah, 9 is the one where you do ancient Rome, and like you spawn these giant enemies, and then you kill them. And,
oh wow!
And yeah, it's really really cool.
Oh, it's funny because when you said, you know, you go through different time periods, I was like, that sounds a lot like Black Ops 1 story. Hmm. Yeah. but this looks just – I mean, this is what I think Zombies is doing right now is it's leaning into just like how goofy and fun yeah. it can be. Mm-hmm. You know,
very Left 4 Dead. And honestly, when I was playing, I'm like, I wonder if anybody who worked on Left 4 Dead worked on this because it really reminded me of that feeling that we got pills here, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All one-liners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost organically, I feel like the three arms of Call of Duty, the three developers have kind of, they each sort of have their niche and their strength. Like Treyarch here has become the leaders on the multiplayer side mm-hmm. of Call of Duty. I think it's no disrespect to the other developers, but
well, they started Zombies, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They started Zombies, and now they've brought Blackout to the table. Mm. And then you have Sledgehammer, who they have been kind of carrying the single-player torch. I mean, yeah, they've done two and a half major...
They did Advanced and then World War II, correct?
Right, and then they were largely responsible for helping piece together...
Infinite Warfare?
Modern Warfare 3 after the Infinity Ward... scandal hit, basically. So, yeah, I feel like they've kind of been trying to take the single-player mantle. So it just remains to be seen now what Infinity Ward, the current incarnation of Infinity Ward, what their strong suit will end up being. I mean, it seems like we're going to probably – I don't know if we'll get an Infinite Warfare 2, if they'll continue down that path or if they'll be trying something new. But
yeah.
I got a real quick question for everybody. Do you need to be playing now or can you wait a few weeks for – it'll probably go down in price a little bit, right?
Call of Duty?
Yeah.
No way.
Does it usually stay at 60?
Through Christmas?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would imagine. So
I'm playing. I'm having a good time.
So here's it. Maybe Black Friday. I don't know. Well, you see like $5 off, $10 off on Black mm-hmm. Friday.
GameStop, yeah, $10, I think.
Yeah.
You know, usually what you see from the consumer side or the quick sales on it. But, yeah. I mean – I I bought the $100 version and I'm happy with it. Yeah, I wanted. I went
is that
all
the one in.
In
the chest?
Yeah. No. That okay. one's the mega one. But I got all the packs.
Early access, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it was just the same as all. But you get the season pass and the little characters and the points, which I have no clue what to do. But I was like, I feel like my purchase is warranted, and I'm having so much fun. So I'm already put in close to 20 hours into the game.
Nice. Wow, that's great.
So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Just to go back to that chest. Have you guys seen that thing?
Yeah.
No.
Holy crap! it's like
in game. It's scary.
It's like if Todd McFarlane and H.R. Giger designed a jewelry box. Yeah. It's this horrifying coffin shaped thing with like it's like what was that that sculpture I can't remember the name of it, but all those like souls like trying to get out of the door. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is horrifying, and I saw Mark Medina carry it through. And Mark's a big dude, and he's got this box like this in his hands. And I'm just like, what? Mark, can I have that? No? Okay, bye.
This week on Locked is brought to you by Chegg Study. Chegg helps students find scholarships, search course reviews, and rent textbooks for cheap. Chegg subscriptions are affordable and can be canceled anytime. With your subscription, you get to tap into Chegg's massive library of step-by-step textbook solutions. Also get access to experts for study help in as little as 2 hours, anytime and anywhere. When I was in school, I would have killed for more time to play some Halo 1. Yes, I'm old. I'm sorry. If I had Chegg, I would have studied smarter and had more time for everything else that I love. For $5 off your first month subscription, go to chegg.com/unlocked and use the promo code unlocked. That's $5 off your first month subscription by going to chegg.com/unlocked and use promo code unlocked.
All right. Well, a big new update for Xbox One has hit since we last recorded a podcast. The highlights being Alexa integration, as well as the new avatars.
Who made their avatar?
Brandon.
I've been busy. I'm so sorry.
Prompting you until you do it.
It didn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I turned on my Xbox One last night to watch the Monday Night Football game on my ESPN app, which works great. but I did not get a prompt to update my Xbox or anything, so...
Yeah, I was very actually impressed. So it apparently takes your old avatar and
makes it really creepy.
Tries to newify it, and it did a really good job on mine. Like I made very few tweaks to it. I went up changing the outfit, but everything else was pretty solid. It doesn't have my beard though.
There really?
There was
no option.
There was French tickler, and then there's like mustache, and there's. You know, there's all this other stuff, but there's
Van Dyke.
There's not just goatee like without the mustache on there. So,
I have heard a criticism that like the masculine traits in the avatar creator, because they're going for a softer, more cartoony look, the masculine traits don't really come off that well. I don't know. I mean, when I made my avatar, I didn't have facial hair, so it's not a big deal. But I'm curious to get in there and see. Have you guys seen that?
Mine looks nothing like me. How about yours?
Mine actually looks pretty close, except they have a monster beard, the lumberjack beard.
Nice.
But I have been messing around with it because I was in the alpha jump ahead. I was messing around with it. But now with the full release, I got pretty much all me in there, which I really like, it's not as swole or anything like that,
you can't but Hulk out with the green
I skip leg day, avatar.
So. Little chicken legs. I'm curious because my avatar is wearing a werewolf costume, and he has been for 10 years. The costumes that you bought, do you bring in?
No, unfortunately. I have a from I believe it's an unlockable from an achievement in the remake of either Monkey Island 1 or Monkey Island 2 for 360. And I had a t-shirt on my avatar like that was a goof from the game that was like, I went to Monkey Island and all I got was the stupid t-shirt. And so I've had that on my avatar forever, plus a Diamondbacks hat. None of and a boxer. I had the pets are gone.
Yeah.
So all that's gone.
Well, you can buy all that now.
But I already had it. I shouldn't have to buy it again.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of a bummer. But I get you. There is a point where I guess you got to reset.
You can't cross over.
Start over. But
I think they're kind of cool. It's a nice, subtle little touch. I didn't spend too much time building my avatar. I just kind of gave him a blue shirt and black jeans like I'm wearing today, basically.
But yeah, they're cool.
All it's today. Good
to see I'll be curious if Xbox is going to, you know, what the future plans are for these new avatars.
1 to 100.
Yes.
that was so great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? Kingdom for Kelpings was pretty to participate good. In 1 versus 100. It was a fun event.
Oh, it was. We could do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
When we've had Phil here, we've asked him about it. It's not coming back.
Right. Yeah. And then the lights went out and he just came back on and he was gone.
Yeah, what a brief but fun experience that was. Yeah. And then Alexa integration. I don't know. I don't have an Echo or a Dot in my house.
Back for this segment.
So I'm the wrong guy to ask, but it is now all in there. I talked to Dan Stapleton, who's out on paternity leave, but we were chatting on Slack, and he says it's like talking, like it works. The voice recognition works better, but it's a slightly more cumbersome in that he said it's like basically talking to your the spouse you're divorcing through a mediator, like through a lawyer, because it's like Alexa, tell Xbox,
oh my god,
to whatever, instead of just like, you know,
that's
saying
such a
Xbox
Stapleton analogy.
It really is, that's and classic. He's happily married, by the way. Just
Alexa,
just to
tell Xbox she can't have the boat.
but he does, you know, I guess because you've got the just good quality, good, the highly capable voice recognition.
Oh yeah,
you have to sort of. Jump through extra couple dialogue hoops.
I don't know if there's a test out there to see like to test voice recognition or something like the AI test, you know, to find out if you're VoidConf.
The Turing test.
Yeah. But I would love to see like somebody put Alexa and Siri next to each other and find out which one is the best. Cause I talk to Alexa every day of my life and, she's
Brandon has no friends,
and she's sweet, and she gets me.
Dude, you can call us.
We're here for you, man.
Alexa, call Destin. You know, well, never mind. How's your day? I've never had a problem with her voice recognition, so it's really, really cool to see, especially coming off of like Kinect, which didn't always understand you.
Yeah.
So now it's really cool that Microsoft is partnering with other people who have like cornered the market in these, you know, developing technologies.
So you actually have this in your home, and you talked about it a little bit on the show. Did you make party time yet? Alexa, party time.
I'm not going to talk to you about what I do in my house.
Fair,
I don't know what that means, but
you were going to do a party time light show.
Did we talk about that?
I don't know.
Anyway, well,
I don't think we did.
I have
not done party time yet. Oh yeah, I told you I bought a bunch of smart bulbs, so you can change the color of all the bulbs in the house.
Yeah,
but what's crazy is like when they reset. Like they just go off in different colors, so my house looks like a rave from the 70s. It's disturbing at like 6 a.m.
Jeez. On a related note, so if you buy an at least I don't know how long this is going to last, but currently Amazon is bundling free Echo Dots with Xbox One purchases, both S and X. Dang. So, I mean, hey, why not, right? Yeah. Why not give it a go?
I mean, you have to buy it. It's not bundled in the box with the Xbox.
No.
You have to purchase it through Amazon.
It's an Amazon bundle. Yeah, so
and then
just
they'll
shipping
they'll send
it to you.
It to. I mean, yeah.
I refuse.
It's cool if you were going to buy an Xbox One anyway, but Dots are like $20 on Black Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
I have six of them in my house.
So. My apartment is so small, I don't know why I would need it.
What's really funny is if you set them in different rooms in a really small space and you try to talk to one of them, it'll pick up on different ones and she'll respond to you at like a delay. It's real creepy. It's real creepy.
I'm a little worried about Brandon, you guys.
I
need to scoot over here.
I love it. Alexa's great.
We might want to stage an intervention.
For like Alexa?
For, just, you know, I don't, like a loneliness thing or
no, I've
just talking at robots people. All day.
Alexa, help Brandon.
I can't do that.
All right. So let's talk to Jeff about Operation Supply Drop. Get that tea, get that throat coated and ready to chat, my friend.
All right.
But yeah, you know, you were here a couple of years ago, but we've got certainly plenty of new viewers, new listeners since then. And even if people did hear you a couple of years ago on Unlocked, this is a great thing that you do that you're a part of that's worth talking about again. We've got it behind 8-Bit Salute. Now, the 8-Bit Salute within Operation Supply Drop. First, I guess, give us the top level for people that aren't familiar. What is Operation Supply Drop? How did you come to be a part of it.
Okay. Operation Supply Drop is a nonprofit military organization that helps military veterans, families worldwide. We're all across the world. It helps from doing what more commonly people were known as our supply drops, where we send care packages to veterans and deployed troops around the world to give them some happy, you know, some happiness, you know, give
that. You have served,
yes,
And it is not an easy life when you are deployed, and it is not an exciting life. I know I've read your book, and a video game can go a long, long way towards helping that.
Exactly, and it brings that camaraderie closer, the bonding, and you know that's needed out there. So with us doing these little crates and supply drops, they help with that. But we go so much more beyond that. We actually help with job training, the transitioning. So when we give people these crates out there, they learn about Operation Supply Drop. And then when they're getting out of the service, they know about us, and we help them with their transition with our partners like at Google and Microsoft, getting them in the tech industry, that kind of stuff, and as well as Starbucks. You know, they all help us together. You got these partners that want to help with us. And then from there, we help within the community engagement, which is where I came in to back in 2015. I started running the team out of San Diego, and then I took over region, became a director of that. And then now they've helped me grow into what I am now, which is a director of development gaming, which after I graduated. So, you know, it's been exciting. Now coming into that, you know, I saw a need. So, I mean, we know that people play video games and how they can help with that. And we know a lot of veterans play video games. And that's why we have 8-Bit Salute, which has been around since 2011. So, I mean, we've been doing that. It's anything like if you think of St. Jude's, that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's what we basically are.
So the 8-Bit Salute, that is a yearly fundraising goal. Do I have that correct?
Yeah. So it's a year-round thing. So this year we made a whole bunch of changes. We came into it. We looked at it. We rebranded. And we created seasons because going year-round, people, they hear about it. They go during like around this time of the year, and then they forget about it the rest of the year. So we wanted to do seasons. So it's continually evolving every season. So,
and hey, like in gaming now, like Fortnite has seasons, and a lot of these games with living content. So it's a gamer like way to think about it.
Exactly.
Things.
And so it's a way for us to communicate and better connect with people that want to help through the gaming avenue. If they're streaming on whatever platform, they can go to the website at 8bitsalute.org, sign up. They create a team, and then now you're eligible to win T-shirts, jerseys, all kinds of stuff, you know, that are by our gracious partners. So it's really intriguing because, you know, we've helped over 750,000 veterans worldwide.
Wow.
And we couldn't do this without everyone's support and donations and that. And I get up every morning knowing that I'm going to get to help someone because of everyone else's actions. So that truly warms my heart. You know, I know, you know, and a lot of people already know that I'm going to cry here. You know, with my past military service, I have a deep connection of helping people. I mean, that's my calling in life is to help
you
people.
You were a medical officer.
Well, I was a corpsman. I was a Fleet Marine Force corpsman, served with the Marines my whole time in the service. So
you're deployed to Iraq.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. And that's where I got injured. And then, of course, 2 years ago, I was paralyzed from the waist down right before we did the last show.
I remember.
Yeah, so I'm here. I'm just excited to be able to continue to help those people so the brothers and sisters can come home and, you know, enjoy life.
What
that's awesome.
Can you kind of speak to? Did you? I guess hold on. I'm just so got too many questions going on in my head at once. What? And we don't have editing, so
yeah,
we don't. Can. We just forget it. We're doing it. No, okay. Fine.
We'll do it live.
was Operation Supply Drop in existence when you were deployed?
It actually it wasn't really. I'd never heard of it. If it was, it was kind of in its infancy, because I was in 07, 09, all back then. I didn't learn about OSD until 2015, until they reached out to me. Gotcha. When I kind of came out.
I guess where I was going with that is I'm sort of curious if you have either had firsthand accounts or maybe I'm sure you've heard from service members who have benefited from the supply drops and the care packages who are out there far from home and can use these donated video games and the of course financial donations that can help make their lives a little less difficult out in the field.
Oh yeah, all the time I get people on Twitter. Just like last night when you tweeted that I was coming on, someone reached out. And he's like, "Oh, I remember Operation Supply Drop when I was last deployed in Afghanistan. We got the care package," and he's like, "Now I'm working on the teams in my local community, giving back to the community." And that's what it's about. It's it's like a stepping stone, because when you get out, there's a lot of us that want to continue to serve in some manner, and so we continue to serve within our local communities somehow or give back in some manner. So it's a different avenue for them. And it's really nice that when people do reach out, that it's touched them in some ways. Like, thank you for that. It gave me a little bit of home. I would have never been able to play, the new Gears or something like that when they send over. So it's really good for social media now, because that's the quickest way that we get that. They search us out because, you put in a little card and then they're like, oh, they'll hold on to that until after their deployment. And then they're like, oh, thank you. And it's just, that's what I live for, because it's like, it made their time, it's like, it made it bearable through all the hurt and the rough times that I was experiencing out there. So.
And you said Microsoft's one of your sponsors?
Oh, yes.
So is there a lot of Xbox action that goes on? A lot of Xbox games go out to service members?
Yeah, a lot of the Microsoft's involved with that. We've got CD Projekt Red, them, Activision, because we're one of their beneficiaries for
Call of Duty Endowment.
The endowment. So we're one of their job people where we're partner with them. All your USOs and MWRs across the world, we outfit those with the gaming systems and all that stuff. So,
love it. We need some URLs now. We want, hopefully you can donate, even if you can't, please go to the website, just check stuff out. Maybe there's some way that you can help.
If you're a content creator, gamer, and you want to stream, you can go to 8bitsalute.org. And yeah, it's a three-step process. Just sign up. You get your fundraising link and you can share it on your streams and that stuff. And if you want to check out on how to get involved within your communities, help within one of our many other programs, go to operationsupplydrop.org. So that's it.
Easy. That's great.
Yeah.
I love this. I think there are a lot of great charities. I mean, Child's Play does great stuff every single year. But since I've gotten to know you, I think what you do with this is amazing. And, we cannot imagine what the stresses and anxieties and difficulties of being away from your family and being, putting your life in harm's way to protect the freedoms of this country. So that the fact that gamers can help make those brave men and women's lives easier, simply I didn't even know actually, too, just that you could help as easily as streaming, just Twitch streaming at home, and just put the donation link. I mean, it cannot get easier than that.
That's
for
a really
people
cool
to help
idea
out
too.
And see, it's so simple with it, because with it, when people get that, I personally message each and every one of these streamers. I reach out to each of them and I give them all the templates. I give them all the videos, and then I give them the special link for Games to Grunts, which, they put in their streams. And if a veteran comes across that, they can go to gamestogrunts.com and they can get free video games just requesting it through verifying their military service. That's it. Wow. And that's what's so powerful about, this whole platform. And I'm really excited for 8-Bit and the community to get this knowledge out there and run with it. So,
I guess to wrap up the season for 8-Bit Salute that's running now, how long is, how are we doing on the goal? and how long until this season is over?
So we started October 1st. We're going to
underway.
Yep, and we're going to December 17th.
Okay, great.
We've raised $33,000 of a $100,000 goal.
Great.
So
that's a great start. Third of the way there.
So
and so that money again is going to go towards everything you've been talking about.
Everything.
The finding new work. You know, finding new work for military members coming back and getting games and consoles out to deployed service members, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff, plus like within our respawn program that helps with, you know, the accessibility devices too that we go with the Wounded Warriors, so we are part of that too.
That's great.
So we're all in, you know, within the reach of it. So anything that you can think of, we're there, because, you know, we go beyond the veteran side of the house. Many people don't know it. We help battered women shelters, the homeless shelters, you know, just it's so much more than just the veterans. Yes, we're veteran focused, but we go so much broader. So
that's amazing. 8bitsalute.org, operationsupplydrop.org. Please take a look and hopefully just see if one way or another appeals to you that you might see fit to help out this this wonderful organization. So, Jeff, always a pleasure. You're hanging out. Let's talk some more Xbox now.
Hey, I'm always for that.
I don't want to interrupt. I'm just like, this is his time.
Yeah.
But oh, that's awesome, dude. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Actually, I guess before we do, I mean, I don't know of a better or worse place. It's just never enjoy saying this stuff. But just our condolences to the family and loved ones of Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, passed away earlier this week. 65 years old, a young man. Really sad to hear, but he wasn't directly involved in the Xbox the way Bill Gates was, but obviously as a person who was largely responsible for building the company, there would be no Xbox, and we'd be doing a show about something else if it weren't for the contributions of Paul Allen. So all our best to his friends, family, and loved ones. Okay, game side. We got about 25, 30 minutes left in the show or so. Let's start with the biggest topic in the world right now, as it will continue to be probably for the coming weeks, Red Dead Redemption 2.
I've heard of this.
I cannot believe this video game. Let's see. A game is 10 days away.
Yeah. Dear God.
10 days from now, Red Dead Redemption 2 will be out. Yeah, 10 days. Jesus. That's a week and a half. 1.5 weeks.
Oh.
It's coming right up.
Thanks for the anxiety attack, right?
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
You're supposed to be excited.
I've got so much more to do before Red Dead comes out.
Yeah. Oh, I was so happy I finally finished Spider-Man.
Oh, God.
I haven't even put that in my PlayStation yet.
Forza. Man. Well, it's you can't go wrong. That's the
thing. Yeah.
You got too many good games to play.
I'm playing Forza.
It's a great thing.
God.
But a couple of interesting housekeeping notes here for Red Dead Redemption 2. There was a really interesting article in Vulture over the weekend. They did a kind of a deep dive piece embedded at Rockstar, a lot of interviews with Dan Houser, who the Houser brothers barely ever talked to the media. So this was kind of cool to read. And one of the things here is that they're estimating a 60-hour core story campaign for Red Dead Redemption 2, down from 65. They cut out 5 hours.
Okay.
The dropped content included a second romantic plot that Dan Houser explained, quote, "We decided one of them didn't work." 60 hours, guys.
If they left that code in, the internet's going to find out.
Yep.
I don't think we're going to have another hot coffee situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, campfire coffee.
They still had hot coffee in 1899.
Yeah.
Warmed on a look, Ryan, just go with the period piece, okay? I like how you scoffed where...
Heat wasn't invented until microwaves in 1963.
That's a fact, asterisk. I like how you scoffed where, like, it's a 60-hour campaign, but they cut 5 hours, and you're like, okay.
Yeah. Give me those, like, 5 hours.
It's a very lengthy game. 60's great.
Yeah.
The previous was, like, 30? It's, like, half of this?
That's what I wanted to... Yeah, it's because the GTAs... I feel like those are all in the 40 range for the main story campaign. Like,
but I always felt like they went on 5 hours too long.
GTA 5 was pretty solid. There might be a few filler missions in there, but I really enjoyed 5's
campaign. There were a couple times where I'm like, do I have to drive to this mansion in the hills again? You know, yeah. But by and large, I feel like they're paced pretty well for like how big they are. Mm-hmm.
Well, they've had 7 years to work on this one, so the fact that it's 60 hours is not really a surprise to me. And remember, I mean, that's just the story stuff. I mean, we're probably talking about 80 to 100 plus hours of open world things to do, mm-hmm. places to see. And that's not even counting Red Dead Online, which will not be launching until November.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, that's a lot.
It is.
Are you you fired up for? Are you a Rockstar fan, Jeff?
I am. That's why I just knocked out 80 hours 100%ing Odyssey. So I was like,
get done.
I got to get ready.
Well
for
done,
this.
Sir.
A
well
lot of people
done.
Are doing that. A lot of people like
I chugged right
you
through
were,
it.
You were on the review, right?
Told you, man. It's a good game.
It's good. I didn't put the controller down. People are like, "Are you even working?"
Research.
Yeah, research. But no, I'm totally stoked for this because I love Western. Timepiece settings, and so I mean, I've been watching Clint Eastwood, John Wayne getting back in the saddle. Let's go, you know.
I think it's just like nobody else is doing a Western right now. Everyone's doing like shooters or well, we got Greece, right? That's where Odyssey takes place.
Oh yeah. Ancient Greece. Yeah.
But
everyone's doing shooters in Greece, and I was like, what? Yeah.
So that's a little bit different. So a lot of people that are experiencing Assassin's Creed right now, they're hungry for this. Totally different tone piece of Red Dead Redemption set in a Western period. And I know I'm stoked for it. How are you guys feeling? Are you ready for something a little bit different than what we have currently?
I've had the pleasure of playing a little bit of the game, not to hashtag humble.
I get it, Ryan. You played Red Dead Redemption 2.
How's Crackdown
doing?
Yeah,
let's keep going.
But
you played Crackdown?
So, I had my appetite wet, and now I am really fired up to get back into it, too. It's because I just barely scratched the surface of certainly the open world.
Mm-hmm.
I know how it begins, so I know kind of what I'm in for at the start, but after the beginning, when it's just go nuts in the Old West, I can't wait to just start seeing what happens.
I'm just ready to be immersed in that time period and like really like... be living through that character and his experiences. And I'm very, very excited about Red Dead 2.
200. So the whole thing that came out a couple weeks ago, they were talking about 200 animal species.
Mm-hmm.
Like I barely saw any in my time, which, so that's like a whole avenue of, I saw some turkeys, a boar.
Brandon saw
skinned that, just like unzipped it.
I haven't seen anything about that. I've been in total blackout.
So
aside from this show.
Yeah, it's there's just an unreal amount of stuff that's going to be waiting for us in that game, and I can't wait to see how. Like again, 7 years, a ton of money, and ton of time, a ton of talent. Can't wait to see how it turns out.
Three T's,
100-hour weeks. I've heard they're working right now.
Yeah,
so that's a lot of OT.
That was a statement that came out from, which is insane because Rockstar never talks to the press, and when they do. They talk about 100-hour work weeks, you know, if you've ever worked in dev or if you've ever heard of a story of someone working in dev, like that is not a healthy way or any industry. That is not a healthy way to conduct your life or to be forced to. They came out and clarified it later, but I felt like the messaging was already out there by the time they did. And their clarification, it was kind of wonky. It was something like no one is forced to work 100 hours.
Well, and then it was the writing team that was putting in that time here at the end of the project and not the core development.
The core development team, yeah. But it was like they're just super passionate, indicating that like if you don't work 100 hours, you're not super passionate.
I didn't take it that way.
It was just a little muddied, you know?
I wanted to talk about it a little bit because I wanted to hear more about what was said. And like, I just saw the headline this morning, right? And I'm like, okay, that's what everybody's talking about today. Red Dead, people working long, hard hours on a game that's about to come out. That sounds pretty standard for game development. But 100 hours is pretty long. It sounds like it's the writing team mostly.
I mean, if that's the qualifier.
For me, if I were working at Rockstar, I would be super excited about this release. Mm-hmm. I know it's a polished product, and I would probably be putting in a lot of hours just because I care about my craft. But it sounds like they're not forced to do that. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get in trouble on the internet if I say too much.
You will. So either way.
I'm already in trouble. If I were working on a project like that, I would work 100 hours. Hopefully they're not forced to do that.
that's about the summation of my thoughts.
I mean, it's a tough project. It's a tough topic, right? You have you know, there's what was in the report, what was in the Vulture piece, and then there was Rockstar's statement, and that's all we have to go on. So you know, it's, you hope that the employees are being well taken care of, because certainly, you know, Rockstar is not short on resources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if they need more resources, you think they can tap into those resources.
You know, if the guy working on the horse testicle physics needs more time, give him more time. That's what I got to say.
Another year at least. I think it's less of a resources issue and more of a, once you commit to a date, you are locked in, you know? I mean, you can only delay so many times. So unfortunately, anything that you're working on that's, you know, driven by a deadline, there's always going to be some level of crunch at the end, unless your project management is perfect, which, you know, it almost never is. Just hopefully, it hasn't been too bad for the last year, right?
So the other item of note here, file size on Xbox. So if you, like me, are going to be playing Red Dead 2, on an S or an X, 88.57 gigabytes. It's going to be
smaller than Forza.
Meaty download. It's going to be a lot to download, and you might need to clear your hard. If you don't already have, I feel like pretty much everybody I know has external USB drives now.
Do you have the 2 terabytes?
Yeah.
The one Ryan recommended, I installed that years ago, and that's what I use.
Yeah, because you know, the 500 on the launch machines filled up instantaneously. Yeah.
I feel like I have 500 gigs of just games with gold games on my Xbox.
Thankfully, the newer Xboxes have mostly 1 terabyte. The 2 terabyte, weirdly, remember that was like, they did like one run of those when the S came out, and then we've never seen them again.
I feel like it was just low conversion rate, maybe.
I guess there are a number of reasons why that could be the case, but it is cheap enough to just buy an external drive. Because you, Jeff, I know you play a lot of Xbox games. Like, you make sure you are out there, man, and that's great. So how big's your external hard drive at this point?
I have, well, because I'm good friends at Seagate as an advisor, I have the 2 8-terabyte externals. I have
2 8-terabytes? So 16 terabytes?
Then I have the 1 terabyte in the Xbox, and then I have the 2 terabyte SSD, and then I have a couple extra SSDs. I've been testing out the new SSDs that are coming out.
Do you have 19 terabytes at home?
Yes. You have solid states?
Yeah, I have solid states.
External solid states.
Yeah. External?
Wow. External solid states. The new ones that they showed at E3, the ones that kind of fit in your palm.
And they're how big?
There's a 2 terabyte, 1 terabyte.
You have a 2 terabyte and external terabyte solid state drive.
Yeah.
Dear God, that's awesome.
they're really fast.
Not cheap either, but no.
How many of those require external power sources?
Just the
2 towers?
Yeah, the 2 towers, the big ones. And I'm at 80% full right now for how many video games I have and apps. So, yeah.
Good Lord.
So, I mean, computer has close to 60, I use a lot of data.
I never delete anything, Mark.
No, never.
That's all there.
It's there.
It's ready to go.
It's kind of where I'm at. I only have the 2 terabyte, but I'm like, I download every game with gold game, even if I'll never play it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that they filtered all your gold games on the library. New filtering. That was, I like that a lot.
That was like one update ago.
I think.
I don't know how you have 18 gigs, but man.
It's nice. I love it. That.
What games get in the axe?
Oh,
or 18 terabytes, I mean, you got room though, right?
Yeah, I have the room, but when
Forza Horizon 2.
So here's how my games do get axed. It comes from the solid state. I transfer off the non-new games off my solid state into the towers, and then I load the biggest, like Red Dead's, on the external. You know, all those, because it's quick, it's accessible. Mm-hmm. So my usually top 3 or 4 games are on my solid state.
That's smart.
Yeah, and they go in the archive buildings.
Yeah, after and I love how, you know, just put it and it transfers it over.
It's
and
easy.
I can walk away in a couple minutes. It's done. So
nice.
Yeah,
love it. So I guess I'm curious. How many hours do you think you guys are going to put into Red Dead?
100.
I love that quick instant answer. Yeah. And do you have any fears or worries about this game heading into it? Destin, 100 hours.
Yeah.
Very instant response.
I kind of hope there's glitches, because if you remember the original Red Dead where the people were mapped to the birds and they were flying around, there was some really funny stuff that happened. I hope we encounter that a little bit, but it looks so polished right now. I don't know if we're going to get that opportunity. I don't really have any worries that the story's not good. I don't know.
It's a bad game, I guess.
What could go wrong? It looks good. The horse mechanics seem good. The running around
baby
the world.
Baby LeGarry, you've just opened the doors.
I haven't played it yet. I have no idea what to expect.
Well, I think it is pure. You're just ready, excited. There's nothing where you're kind of thinking, oh, I hope this doesn't happen or this isn't this way. You've got the full confidence in Rockstar. I mean, they've earned it.
GTA Online, when it launched, was a little rough. So hopefully they manage to handle the server smash hit that they're going to get when all those players hit it on day one.
True.
So that's the only... I mean, they just have such an excellent track record, right? Yeah, so
they do.
It's like, I'm sure it's going to be good.
Jeff, what do you say? Anything? Any worries heading into this thing?
I actually don't.
Time?
No. Well, the time is the key factor. But I think since they've done so well by mastering the sandbox kind of genre and just massive open world, I think we're in for a treat with it. Because I mean, from what we've seen, the little previews, I mean, it looks like they've paid attention to the detail, the dialoguing, just the interactions, and just the setting piece. I think they've nailed it just by the visuals, what we've already seen. So, I mean, if I'm falling through the map somewhere, I'm not going to complain. But, you know, I think we're pretty on par for a solid release for this. So.
And they've showed it to people. So you remember Andromeda, people were like, uh-oh. But they've showed it to people, and people are like, you are not prepared. Yeah. This is amazing. Yeah.
Brandon, any thoughts on this topic?
Just the time. And I'm the kind of guy, like, with a big game, I have to binge it. Otherwise, I'll set it down and never come back. Just because there's other stuff going on. So I'm worried that I don't. The weird thing is like I'm worried about starting it because I don't want to start it and then not be able to finish it within 2 weeks.
I know exactly what you're thinking. I've been there.
Yeah. And listening to you guys talk about the Old West setting and how much you loved it, like, I appreciate that because I feel that way about a lot of cool settings, but like the Old West is not one of them. Like, I appreciate good. Like Call of War's Gunslinger, I thought was an awesome story, and I appreciated it that it was told in that setting. But like, if it was told in a different setting, I'd be okay with that too. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I just hope that like the grit and the tarnation of the Old West like holds my interest for these 65 hours. This is gonna sixty hours. This is gonna take to finish it. Plus 40 or whatever. Exactly. Realistically.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just curious. I hope the sandbox really allows for a lot of open-ended stuff, because GTA 4 kind of felt like a little bit of a half step back in that, like in 3, in the original 3D GTA games, you could tackle a mission from like 6 different, like pretty much any way you could think of, whether it was like, okay, you gotta take out a guy, so do you want to just like post up on a building and snipe him, or do you want to just run him over, or do you want to, you know, there's a bunch of different, and then I feel like 4 kind of got a little scripty.
You don't want to hang out, cousin.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, the mission design reflected the fact they wanted to focus on a story.
Yeah. And 5, but I think 5 did a good job of moving back towards the sandbox nature. So I'm not too worried that about Red Dead 2 here, but I hope that it's the story can be great, but we can also get that freedom of choice within the context of the mission. So, in fact, this is that right there. We were watching, if you're watching on video, like that just reminded me, oh yeah, we're probably going to have like heists built into the single player time instead of just being part of Red Dead Online later. So.
And heists are fantastic in GTA Online.
Oh, they're so good. They're so much fun. Yeah, this is going to be crazy. I wish I could quite justify. I talked to my wife and was like, couldn't quite do a 4K TV yet. Oh, really? I was really wanting to do one for this game.
Oh, you don't got 4K yet?
Not yet.
Are you waiting for Black Friday?
Just, it's, you know, we're just we went over the finances. Yeah. It's like, all right, can't, you know, not right now. So, but hopefully it's good. I guess that's my word. Hopefully it'll look good on an Xbox One X hooked up to a 1080p TV because that's what I got rocking.
I'm sure it will.
It will.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it. But all right, that's Red Dead 2. The other topic I wanted to talk about before we get out of here is Diablo. Another game that's very near and dear to my heart.
Diablo! I love Diablo.
It's so good. Diablo 3, if you have not played it, is really great on Xbox One. Mm-hmm. The original release on PC, which was years and years and years, almost Duke Nukem Forever kind of way, it was a huge wait for that game, was a little disappointing. But man, to Blizzard's credit, they have turned Diablo 3 into an incredible game that really, I feel like, and I think you'd agree, Brendan, fulfills all of its potential, particularly with the Reaper of Souls expansion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going from Diablo 2 to Diablo 3, it was less of an emphasis on your personal story and more of an emphasis on like a live online ecosystem. And I think that caught a lot of people oddly, you know, like of course, the fact that you saw an error message the first time you booted up the game didn't help.
Not on Xbox. That was you're talking that's sure, back about in the PC days.
Yeah, but I mean, that game has since slowly built itself into like, and to Blizzard's great credit, they've listened to what people wanted and design and altered the game to match more of the feel and the intent of the design, removing the auction house, you know, like adding rifts and greater rifts, and you know, there's just this whole there's this whole experience now that just was not there 3-4 years ago. How long has it been now? Feels like
it's been a while.
13 was it 13 maybe or 14?
2012, I want to say.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I think it's been longer.
But it came out on Xbox One, I believe, 2014.
It was,
I think,
the Ultimate Evil Edition.
Yeah, exactly.
Did that come out with Reaper of Souls?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, that would have been a following year.
But
who boy, taking the last 5 years of what they learned and adding it to a new Diablo game has me super pumped.
Yeah. And that is the question. So Blizzard may have leaked its own big BlizzCon announcement. Maybe. Or maybe this is all just nothing. I don't know. It's hard to...
They've been super winky about it for like the last 6 months. Like, hey, guess what? We're dropping a brand new Diablo comic apropos of nothing near BlizzCon.
So Blizzard has revealed its BlizzCon 2018 merchandise on its website.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a few of the items, there are shirts that say Diablo Reign of Terror on them. So is that a new game? Is that a Diablo 3 expansion? What? This
new game.
I mean,
I'm
going to
go
this?
With new game.
I'm going to go with a new game announcement. Yeah. I'm going to say they're going to announce it. I don't think we're going to see that for at least another year or two. But I imagine we're going. I mean, look, the goodie bag that they release at BlizzCon every year, the prominent feature in there was a statue of Diablo, you know? And it was very much, it very much harked back to the first Diablo. Like the original Lord of Terror design. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious. I'm a little worried that this is an announcement for a remastered version of Diablo 1. They had the Diablo 1 event last year that was built into Diablo 3. So I'm a little worried.
Or 1 and 2 together.
Or maybe 1 and 2 together. You know, since they did the Diablo 1 event, a lot of people were talking about, well, maybe this year we'll get a Diablo 2 event. And that would be the least exciting thing, I think, to come out of this.
I do want to play Diablo 2 again, though.
Like a remastered Diablo 2 would be cool. I would prefer a new game.
Yes, definitely.
But a Diablo 2 event inside Diablo 3 is, I think, like the lowest common denominator we can all get excited about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The fact that the marketing is pointing towards the original Diablo makes me curious.
Mm, good point.
Like, God, Lord, I hope it's not a reboot. Like,
nah.
Although maybe like a Diablo 1 spiritual, you know, successor in the ecosystem they've outlined with Diablo 3 could be cool. But just like, give me Diablo 4, man. Like, let's. Yeah.
You a Diablo guy, going. Jeff?
I am. I own it on multiple platforms. Yeah. So, I mean,
I'm triple dipping this fall with the Switch version.
Oh, that thing looks sweet. I love that.
PC, Xbox One.
You're gonna buy? You're gonna buy that Switch though?
No, the, not the,
the
not
actual
the
package.
No.
Okay.
The Joy-Cons aren't special, or is it just?
I think it's,
sadly no. It's just the dock.
Okay.
Just the dock. But welcome to NVC. So anyway, so we'll see. I mean, that is going to be really interesting to see what, if anything of substance, this Diablo Reign of Terror thing is. But please be Diablo 4.
Yeah.
Tune into that Blizzard keynote.
Wait, should I be praying down to the devil?
Oh, let's... No.
I don't know if that's a thing we're supposed to... Yeah,
the letter writing campaign has already begun.
All right. We got to get moving here. So we're going to hold the loot box for next week. I told you we started it last week when we get Miranda. So Miranda, if you're wondering, she kindly stepped aside so that Jeff could be here. But it kind of worked out because she's also...
reviewing a game.
Just completely submersed in Call of Duty Black Ops 4 review. So we'll get her back next week, and then we'll do these awesome AMA questions that you guys sent in for us. For now, trivia. But before that, I'm being told that there is a...
Breaking.
Yes. Our own... The video editor here at IGN, Jordan Parkhurst... Brother of Unlocked super producer Dan Parkhurst.
Love you, Dan.
Dan is clearly the smarter brother because Jordan has made himself a bet. I think he's going to lose. And that is, he is going to be streaming a Blackout, Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Blackout. Is it tonight? When was it?
Tomorrow.
Thank you. So Wednesday, October 17th. 6 p.m. YouTube.com/IGN. Twitch.tv/IGN and Mixer.com/IGN.
Yeah.
He has vowed that in his 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. gameplay window, be streaming 4 hours.
Duos Blackout.
In duos, he will win five times. And if he doesn't.
You sure it's five, Dan?
It's five. If he fails. Yeah, if he fails to...
How long does a match usually take, guys?
It can go...
30?
Yeah, 30 minutes. Oh,
he's done. Okay. Yeah, he's done. So he's
got roughly 9 attempts to get five wins.
Yeah. He will be shaving his head if he fails to get the five.
Or...
At the end of the stream, they're going to do that. So that is our carrot to get you to watch, is to basically root for him to fail.
Yeah.
Or maybe, it'd be more fun root for him to get to four, but then not get, torture him.
No, he'll get the win at 10:05. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Win at 10:05.
He'll lose by a technicality, and then we'll still get to.
Oh, anyway, so Wednesday, October 17th, 6 p.m. on YouTube.com/IGN, Twitch.tv/IGN, and Mixer.com/IGN. Watch Jordan Parkhurst, IGN video editor / producer. See if he can get to five Blackout duos wins. And if he can't, that hair's coming off that top of his head.
I don't know what to say about this.
I have nothing.
Just go.
All right. Trivia real quick. Jeff, you get to participate.
Oh, geez.
We're going to test your metal here. So this one, this is like an IGN deep cut before any of us worked at IGN. But it's just sort of fun to think about. You just take a shot here based on what you remember. This is original Xbox era. 2004 is the trivia question here, sent in by Jason from Sydney, Australia. His gamer tag is Mira Genesis. Not quite sure what that means, but it sounds cool. And Jason's question is this. In 2004, what Xbox game won... He writes 360, but he means original Xbox. What Xbox game won IGN's Best Graphics Award from E3 that year. E3-04, so Best Graphics, as stated by the team at IGN at the time. Did Full Spectrum Warrior win that? Have you played Full Spectrum Warrior back in the... It's so good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But graphically, is it?
Originally developed as U.S. Army training simulator. Yeah. Conquer Live and Reloaded.
Fur physics.
Fur shading. Mm-hmm. Prince of Persia 2. Which back the Prince of Persia games were stunning.
Rewind time.
And Halo 2.
We all know Halo.
So best graphics from the IGN staff at E3 2004. What do you guys think? Jeff, I'm going to go your way first.
I'm going to do the college method here. I'll just say B.
B Conquer.
We're sure this is original Xbox?
These are not 360 games.
So far off.
It's a common, simple mistake from Jason. No big deal. Brandon, what do you say?
Oh, man. I want to say Halo 2, but I feel like that's sort of a distraction. I feel like it's a little rope-a-dope. Mm. I'm going to go a Full Spectrum Warrior.
Okay.
Okay.
Destin?
I think Halo 2 was a trailer. I could see it being Prince of Persia or Conquer. I'm going to guess Conquer because I'm guessing they leaned on that tech, the fur shading tech.
On his tail. Okay.
Wish me luck, everybody.
All right. That's what everyone remembers.
I'm on a bad run.
So Halo 2 was playable multiplayer on Zanzibar, One Flag CTF
in 2004.
E3 04.
Okay.
However, you have still got landed it correctly. It was Conquer. Live that
broke the streak.
The fur shading was indeed stunning. I love it. I think it was gorgeous. What a job that Rare did on that. So excellent job, Jason. And that means we got
Mark Medina
off the schneid here, 3 points. And just, we'll get Jeff in here too. He's on the board, 1-for-1 on his visit. So.
Nicely done. Nicely done. You're 100% right.
Yes.
If you guys out there want to participate in the trivia segment, send me your trivia questions. I need 4 multiple choice answers. Note the correct one in your email and send that to unlocked@ign.com.
Thanks, Jason.
We have got to go. So you can find me on Twitter @DMC_Ryan. I would like to promote a new episode of IGN Unfiltered dropped today as I record this. Scott Miller, the founder of 3D Realms, 3D Realms, hugely influential over the years. Of course, Duke Nukem 3D, Duke Nukem Forever, both of those Duke games are covered. But they were also involved with the original Max Payne back in the day with Remedy, as well as the original. They were originally developing Prey before it ended up becoming the Human Head developed game that we got in 2006 on the 360. That was excellent as well. So a lot of cool stories from Scott Miller. I would kindly ask that you check that out on IGN, on YouTube, or on your favorite podcast service. Let me go next to Jeff. Let's get some, can we follow you on Twitter? Let's get those right. OSD URLs again.
You can find me at .cupcake84 on Twitter. You can go to 8bitsalute.org, and you can go to operationsupplydrop.org, and we're also on Twitter, as well as 8bitsalute and We Are OSD. So.
Excellent. Love it.
I really like that We Are OSD. That's cool. I'm Brandon Tyrell. You can find me on Twitter @BrandonTyrell, and the busy season is upon us. I'm still talking about Assassin's Creed Odyssey like a week and a half.
Great game.
A week and a half later. A great game, right?
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, 100% in later. I just put up a piece yesterday about the microtransaction debate and why I think that's silly. That's it. That's all I can talk about right now. I've got a lot of things, and I'm like, no, I can't.
He's done. Destin, take us home.
What I'm doing is largely unimportant, so just go to his website and support somebody doing something good for the world.
Love it.
WeOSD.com.
org. No, WeOSD was the Twitter URL.
Destin, you're ruining. Search WeOSD on the internet, you'll find us.
Operationsupplydrop.org.
So, yep.
Excellent. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for coming up here and spending an hour of your life with us. Loved having you. Come back every year.
Thanks for having me
all the time. So for Jeff Bartram and Brandon Tyrell, as well as Destin Legarry, I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This was Unlocked 366. Yes. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.